Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I am, I really am, that you're here with me on this 17th day of November 2019. We're going to look at being judgmental. Get a lot of emails about all this. We live in a very judgmental time, as it were, especially when it comes to politics, etc. Anyway, I'm grateful you're here, and I want to thank my sponsors for making this possible. It is only through their gifts, their tax-deductible gifts, that I'm allowed to continue. And I hope that, as you know, we're in our fundraising drive here at the end of the year to raise donations to sustain our radio program and all the other things I do, including hospice and my Batmo project and everything I do to serve humankind. It is only done through your contributions, your tax-deductible gift. And we go out and do a lot of wonderful things in our Batmo project, helping children. Right now, we're dormant. We have some repairs to do, but we will be back there next year. We need some time to organize and repair and, streamline our car, the design, everything to make it safe for children. I will be taking children for their cruise, the sick children, sometimes at their last wish cruise. And so there's a lot going on here at Aspire, and we're doing everything we can to help people. We also need to keep our radio, our TV programs on the air to serve humankind. Your donations do all of this. And if you make a one-time donation, let's say for a year end, our mystery donor will match it. He is very, very generous. And if you become a sponsor, which would be even more wonderful, he will match that too. So if you become a monthly or quarterly donor, he will match those donations to help us stay on the air. So I hope that you will consider becoming a sponsor. You get so many wonderful things for your sponsorship. The message of the month, commentaries, podcasts, video cast, access to all of my TV discourses I did on all of the various TV programs I did, the series. And there are a lot of them. And I hope that you will become a sponsor and help us. If you are interested, if you would like to know more about it, please go to the website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org, O-R-G. And there you will see the splash page, year-end donations, and a little story. I think that is very apropos. And become a sponsor. Do something for humankind. Do something that makes a difference in people's lives who may be struggling. Because one day, my dear one, whoever you are listening, you might be one of those people. And what we send out does come back to us. And that is a perfect segue into judgment. Probably one of the most difficult things that human beings do is they are judgmental. And when you look up the word, having or displaying an excessive critical viewpoint, that kind of nails it right there, the criticalness, the ability to make or consider decisions or come to sensible conclusions, error of judgment, that kind of thing, an opinion, a conclusion about an opinion, a decision in court, a misfortune or calamity viewed as a divine punishment. Ooh, all these things does judgment render unto us. So I just think it's kind of interesting. Let's get into this. This, by the way, this subject of judgment, there is a great deal of difference between discernment and judgment, and my students never get it. They're just so, over the years, almost 50 years I've been teaching, and no one gets it. All right, first one. This says, let's see, who is this? This is from Heath. And he does not tell me where he lives. I can't help but be judgmental. How do I stop? When I hear myself doing it, I don't even like me. Heath. Oh, that was really good. I don't even like me. That's why I chose your thing. I really, because you're judging yourself. And so you see the whole schmear keeps going on and on and on. I'm going to read you a little story about judgment. This is a Sufi story. One Sufi master tells a story about himself. He said, "When I was a child, I was pious. I was fervent in prayer and devotion, and one night I was keeping the vigil with my father, and we were praying in the ashram. Everyone else in the room was going to sleep, and soon the sound of snoring overwhelmed me. I said to my father, 'None of these sleepers has his eyes open, nor do they raise their head in prayer. You would think that they were all dead.' My father replied to me, "My beloved son, I would rather you two were asleep like them than slandering them." It's an interesting little story. I get a kick out of it. So you can't help but be judgmental. Well, you can, but you won't, and you don't, because it all has to do with self-esteem. If my self-esteem is low, if my self-esteem about myself is dependent upon me being better than someone else, being elite, better than others, then I put myself in a posture and in a position that is very, very difficult. Judgment in this realm comes in the ideals that I have about my life and about myself and how that applies to others, that others should be just like me. I have colleagues and friends and students who are all judgmental, and they don't know what they're doing. They know not what they do. And even though these people, even my colleagues, you know, judge not according to appearances, judge not lest ye be judged, all these things that Jesus taught, they throw it right out the door because they feel lesser than. They feel like they are maybe not as good as the person they're judging. And even not as good just sends chills up my back. We are not here in a form of competition. We are not here to fight among ourselves or with each other as to who is the best and all of that other stuff. You know, I could do anything that anyone else could do. You know, I am not above reproach in any of that. Even as a teacher, I'm not. So when you go and you look at your life and you see all the things that you're capable of doing, what is a judgment against another person but my will against their will? My beliefs against their beliefs, my ideals against their ideals. You can't help but be judgmental. You're right. Because, Heath, it's a genetic quality. It is something we just naturally do genetically out of competition. The need to be better than. The need to know our place in a tribe, in a society. We need elite, and then we need those who are a little under the elite, and down and down and down it goes until we get to the rock bottom of those of us who are considered absolute crazies. You have to look at why we do what we do. It's a psychological thing in order to shore up our own faults and misgivings, even our own ideals that we don't really know a lot about and why we do what we do. Most people are running around this world, Heath. They don't know what they're doing. They know not. So they look at other people and they say, "Well, I'm better than that. I'm better than that. I'm better than that." And when they meet someone who they think is better than themselves, then they have, you know, a different point of view there. They think that they have achieved something great, grandiose, or whatever, and they haven't. It just doesn't really work like that. They get to, you know, rub shoulders with and elbows with people that are what they think of as better than themselves. Your mind is going to be judgmental. And here's the bottom line. Your mind's going to be judgmental. Every mind is judgmental. The thing you want to do is not cast the aspersion of judgment on others. You want to be able to see the judgment and how the mind wants to make that judgment. And then you want to look at it from the point of view that it absolutely means zero, nada, nothing. It doesn't mean a hill of beans to anything. And though the mind wants to make a judgment, you do not make decisions based on that judgment. And that's the key. You can be discerning. To discern is to see the difference between, let's say, black and white, but not make a judgment as to black is better than white or white is better than black. And I'm not talking about racial. I'm just talking about colors, ladies and gentlemen. So when you understand discernment, I have the discerning eye. I can see what is going on. I can see it through my intuition. I can see it. But I don't look at a person and think, oh, you're lesser than me. Oh, you're an idiot. Although I do have idiots. I really do. I try to reach people at the level they can hear things. And you have to be discerning about that. You have to be able to say things to people where they're coming from and be discerning about their language, the way they think. You have to base insight on, you know, do they have a sense of humor? Are they intelligent? Are they interested? Are they working on, what are they looking for? You can discern and see, what is a person looking for by, let's say, just being your friend? Well, what do you want out of me? What is it that you're doing? Discernment is not judgment. And I keep telling my students, oh, okay, I got a great. Do you know how many times I've written commentaries? I've done podcasts, videocasts, TV programs, radio programs, workshops, retreats. They still don't get it. Because they're highly critical of themselves. The judgment they levy towards another person is the judgment they have for themselves. So this goes on and on and on. It's genetic, Heath. You're going to have to be conscious. You're going to have to slow down. You don't need to condemn yourself for having these thoughts. You just let them pass. They are something that needs to pass. And you move forward in your heart. And you judge another person not at all. You don't know what their background is, what they're going through, what they're struggling with, and you must forgive that. That's what you have to know and discern from your intuition. And that is developed through meditation. Thank you, Heath. Please forgive me. Namaste. Next one is from Linda. She does not tell me where she lives. Is it possible to be non-judgmental? Am I being judged by God for being judgmental? Linda. Linda, nothing pisses a woman off more than to have, let's say, the one she has her eye on, the man she has her eye on, not to want her. And in the female's case, you see, men see threats all the time. They're always looking for threats, threats to the family, the threats to their income, threats to anyone who would appear to have more than they have. Okay, or take away what they have. Women are in the same category. They're threatened by another woman, any woman who is what they consider an eye catcher to a man and will get more attention from him. So you have that going on all the time in the background of your DNA. It's a part of the way we are built biologically. Now, you can live in this biological stuff over and over and over again and consider it a lifestyle. You ask, is it impossible to be non-judgmental? your mind will probably always be judgmental. Always. So, no, it is not possible to live your life in a non-judgmental way inside your head. Your mind is going to like and dislike. Unless you achieve nati-nati, neither this, neither that. But even then, in the background of your mind, it is a part of how you survive, is to be judgmental about what is dangerous. And it all comes from emotion, because our emotions are built to show us danger. That's it. To show us there is a chance for danger over here and danger over there. Our emotions are also showing us, you know, possible kills that we could have. You know, we could go into the jungle and we know where the deer sleep or whatever, or the rabbits or whatever. And so we have that emotional instinct. And never, ever confuse your instinct with your heart, the state of your heart. So you have to see things in the light of the way they are. And if you do, if you can understand that, then you become discerning. No, it is impossible not to be judgmental. Even in the quiet recesses of your mind, you meet someone you haven't seen in years, and you look at them, and bingo, the evaluation starts: how they look, what they're saying, how they've aged, blah, 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 blah. All that goes on automatically inside you. But that doesn't mean you have to believe it. You have to act on it. You have to concern yourself with it at all. It doesn't mean any of that. It just means I didn't take care of my mind very well, and this is the result. I have a mind that's hopping around making judgments about people I don't even maybe really know. I only think I know. So that's how you work on that. I'm going to give you a story. This is an old traditional German story, and it really is a good one. A man whose axe was missing suspected his neighbor's son. The boy walked like a thief, looked like a thief, and spoke like a thief. Later that day, the man found his axe while he was digging in the valley. And the next time he saw the neighbor's son, the boy walked and looked and spoke like any other child. That's the way it works. Thank God he didn't act on it. It didn't make some accusation to the child. But that's the way our minds work. They're always on the defense because they are trying to survive. The survival instinct goes far deeper than we imagine, and it's extremely important to understand that survival instinct. If I don't understand my survival instinct, then I won't understand why I'm being judgmental. I'm trying to survive. I'm looking for danger. I'm looking for opportunity. I'm looking for all sorts of things to survive. So don't be ashamed of yourself, Linda, because these thoughts cross your mind. You don't have to act on them. Now, the second part of your question. Am I being judged by God? Religion would love to have you think you're being judged by God. Religion would love that, because that's what keeps you in the church. The only thing that keeps a person going to church is fear. You have enough fear in a person and they'll do just about anything. I could never understand why people would go to the Catholic Church. I just don't get it. With all the scandals and all the things they've done that have been corrupt to children, much less corrupt in the world, and still they pack them in because of guilt and shame. Nothing in this world is more powerful than guilt and shame. Nothing. In the human psyche, the person who lives by the pedestrian mentality, guilt and shame are everything. So there you are. That's why. Does God judge it? God who? Show me God. Tell me what God is. Oh, what kind of God created you to be judgmental, to have the capacity to be judgmental, and then would condemn you for being judgmental? And if you're the image and the likeness of this God, he must be judgmental. I mean, supposedly he killed everybody and started all over again. God's the killer. Don't get me started on this. He wiped out the world because he didn't like his own creation, and then he doesn't like it again, so he kills his only begotten son, quote unquote. What kind of dude is that, huh? Oh, don't worry about God, Linda. It's a fiction, and it isn't the one you think God is. So stop torturing yourself. I'm just talking to the wind now, aren't I? You're just gonna do what you're gonna do anyway. So anyway, there you are, my darling. It ain't what you think it is. And if you want to keep torturing yourself, nobody can stop you. You're going to have to mature and see the bigger picture here. Please forgive me. Namaste. This God thing. Oh, last question, Bob from Colorado. Does God judge us as his creations? I don't understand what God is after. Bob, you join a crowd of people that just eat the Kool-Aid, just drink it without even thinking about it. The loudest voice in the room is the most impressive to most people. And if you're loud and someone appeals to how you emotionally feel and then can tell you how you should feel, then they have you by the huevos rancheros, and you're done for. And people are always looking for, how should I feel? How should I feel? And it has to coincide with the state of their hate and fear. So you say, does God judge us as his creations? It's a fiction. Bob, it's a fiction. This whole God thing and the way we think of him with a persona and an ego like ours. And I don't blame you for doing that, because after all, you were created in the image and likeness of this sucker. So there you are. If you buy into all of this and don't have a sense of humor about the whole deal, you will miss. Jesus said it best. God is love. Period. Love does not judge. It does not analyze. It does not theorize. It does not look at other people's faults and see the speck in our brother's eye while we have the beam in our own. It just doesn't work like that. Although we'd like to think it does, because we want to be elite. We want to be immune to any difficulty or problem that's out there because we behave better than other people, blah, blah, blah. We're Christians. Oy vey. Listen to me. Try to understand. Give up this God thing. Start developing inside of yourself some sense of intuition, some sense of insight, some sense of beauty inside you. Be grateful for the love that lives within your heart, in your soul. Don't countermand the whole idea that God is love. You can call God many names. He can have all sorts of dialects and philosophies, and none of them are true. The only thing that is true is love. And love permeates the universe. What that love is why we're here on this earth, to discover the qualities, the attributes of a great love. A love that is far beyond our emotional capacity. And once you and I begin to become enthralled with that, that is when we start to maturate into our soul and start to find the beauty, the essence of what this is really all about. Don't get caught up, Bob, in the hubbub and stupidity of religion. Religion is there as the mediocrity of people's minds. It serves the pedestrian mentality with fear. And that's what we're all about, fear. I'm out of here. I got to go. Bob, I wish I could talk more, but again, I got to go. Please forgive me. Namaste. Thank you for listening this weekend. I hope you'll make a donation, become a sponsor, or help us at least by making a donation for our year-end drive. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.